Hey church, good morning. Happy Easter.
Yes.
We're so glad you decided to tune into our live stream this morning.
That's right. Guys, you are making a huge difference in our community and we are so incredibly grateful.
Yeah.
This week we gave food to 147 kiddos. The woman let us know that without Christ Church that they would not be able to do this.
Yeah.
So thank you for making huge difference in the lives of these kids.
Yeah.
There's two ways to give. The first one is our Christchurch Ohio app, and then the second is our Christchurch Ohio website.
Yeah, and that's one of the awesome things that has happened in this quarantine is that we've been able to see your overwhelming generosity and just support for our communities.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to continue that. We want to give you more opportunities. So this week,
yes.
Today, Easter Sunday, we are kicking off Love Week quarantine style. And tell us more about that.
So what it is we want to spread the love and the joy of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We're going to give you guys a ton of different ideas to be creative, to do that, to serve your communities, to serve your spouse, your kiddos.
Yeah.
Be on the lookout for an email with all the details in that. You can also check out our website and the app.
It's going to be a great event, church. I hope you join us this week.
Yes.
Have a great Easter with your families. We will see you all next week right here on Livestream.
That's right.
Well, church, today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We celebrate it in a way different than we ever have, but in reality, we celebrate it the same way because we worship God in our hearts. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the God of the resurrection and the life. You teach us that when Christ rose from the dead, He changed everything, and He created a new humanity. Help us to understand that clearly today, so we can live in the image of our resurrected Christ. Amen. In 1895, H.G. Wells published a book called The Time Machine. It was only 84 pages, but it was an instant bestseller, and people have been reading it ever since. The narrator never tells us who invented the time machine. He just calls him the time traveler. And the time traveler told the narrator that he had gone into the future and seen that humanity had evolved into two different species. One species, the Inuit, lived on the surface, and they lived in a simple, idyllic paradise. The other species lived underground, and they were called the Morlocks, and they lived a much more brutal and vicious life. H.G. Wells was guessing about the human future. Thank God we didn't evolve that way. But he does have something very right in his book. The idea that there are two humanities. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:42, "So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. What is sown in dishonor is raised in glory. What is sown in weakness is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body." The Apostle Paul is saying this: when Christ rose from the dead, he created a new humanity. And because Christ is risen, we will rise too. The new humanity has four dominant characteristics. The first thing Paul says is, what is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. Easter teaches us there are two kinds of life, a perishable life and an imperishable life. We are very familiar with our perishable life. I have a very clear sense that I'm not the boy I once was. And we are reminded daily how susceptible we are to disease and trouble. But there is a different life that Christ creates, and it is an imperishable life. Jesus promised, because he rose from the dead, if we believed in him, even though we were dead, yet shall we live. There is a new life, and the new life is not subject to the perishable sorrow of this life. The second characteristic is what is sown in dishonor is raised in glory. It's easy to remember the many times in life that we've been embarrassed, humiliated, something's gone wrong, and we've felt the indignity of life. It's easy for us to connect with the dishonorable life. But Christ said, because he rose, he's offering us a very different life. A life where we don't remember our dishonorable deeds, a life that is characterized by glory. I believe the New Testament word glory is well translated by the idea, a life of innate dignity. Because Christ rose from the dead, he offers us a life of innate dignity. What I will remember is not the dishonorable, I will remember the divine, the dignity, the beauty, the majesty, and the wonder of life. The third characteristic that Paul talks about is what is sown in weakness is raised in power. I think this virus has made us very aware of our weakness. It's made us aware of our physical weakness. It's made us aware of our social weakness. It's made us aware of our preparedness. Life has a way of reminding us we're not as strong as we think we are. But because Christ rose from the dead, there is a new life, and it is a life of powerful capacity. In Christ Jesus, I receive a life that is empowered by capacities I don't have now. The fourth characteristic of the resurrected life is what is sown a physical body is raised a spiritual body. The word that I'm translating physical here is the word we actually get our word psychology from. What is sown a psychological life is raised a spiritual life. What is sown with all the limits of our psyche is raised with a new nature, a new spirit, a spirit that is more like the divine than our own broken psyche. So because Christ rose from the dead, he created a new kind of life, a life that is not perishable, a life that has innate dignity, a life that has the power of capacity, and a life that is characterized by the spiritual nature of God. When we celebrate the resurrection, we celebrate a beautiful idea of a new life that Christ created. Paul goes on to say, thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. The new life in Christ is different than the life that we all share with Adam. Adam gives us a life where we are a living being. Adam created a pattern for the natural life. Every human being shares a natural life that originates in Adam. So when Paul wrote that in Adam we see the natural life, we can understand that. We can look at our own life experience and understand what a natural life looks like. We can look at the life experiences of many other human beings and see all the things we share in common. But Paul was making a point. In the resurrection, Christ became more than what Adam could ever be. In Adam, we only share a humanity. In Christ, something very different changes because Christ is not like Adam. He is a life-giving spirit. I want to remind you what Christ was like when he rose from the dead. He wasn't limited by time and space. He seemed to show up wherever he wanted to. But he could also enjoy breakfast by the Sea of Galilee with his friends. There is a life in Christ Jesus that is very, very different than the life that we have in Adam. There is a life in Christ Jesus that is not wearing away, but it is a life that is eternal and has the nature of God about it. What will eternal life be like? It will be something like what we see in Christ Jesus. Not limited by time, but able to enjoy breakfast with our friends. I can only receive this spiritual life through the resurrected Christ. I received my natural life from my parents. I received my intellectual life from my education. I received my social life from my family. But there is a life that can only be received through the resurrection Christ, and this is the spiritual life. So Adam says, humanity has two representatives. The first man was a life of dust. The second man, a cosmic life able to live in the presence of God. Of course, you know that the image of dust is taken from the book of Genesis, where man is made from the dust of the earth. It's the idea that our physical life is innately attached to the physical world we live in. And Adam gave us that physical life. There is a second man, his name is Jesus Christ, and he shares with us a cosmic life. He shares with us a life of the heavens. He shares with us a life that is capable of abiding forever in the presence of God. And then Paul says, as with the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. As is the man of the heavens, so also are those who are of the heavens. Just as we have borne the image of the man of the dust, we also bear the image of the man of heaven. This contrast that Paul creates here. We all have in us a shared humanity. I've read that if you reduce a body down to its chemical components, there's just not a whole lot there. But what is there is the very chemicals that are normal and natural in the human world. If you look at a life simply as a material life, you only see a small part of humanity. There is a new humanity, and it is the humanity that Jesus Christ creates. And it can't be reduced to a handful of physical chemicals. The life that Christ creates can't be reduced to chemical formulas and biological laws. The life that Christ creates is a cosmic life. It is a life that is greater than the limitations of this world. The best Paul can compare it to is, it is a life that is consistent of what happens in the presence of God. The resurrection was not an event that happened in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, and when it was over, it was over. The resurrection created a new humanity. When we celebrate the resurrection, we're celebrating the new humanity that Jesus Christ created. I also would like to say, isn't this a good time for us to ask ourselves the very serious question, am I only like Adam, or has something happened that changed me to make me like Jesus Christ? Do I only know the physical and material life, or have I come to experience the life that the resurrected Christ gives? Do you remember what Jesus said? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The life of the resurrected Christ is received by believing in Jesus Christ. It's not enough to believe that the first Easter happened and there was an empty tomb. I have to believe that the one who rose from the empty tomb is alive and working in the world today and creating a life in me that I can't get any other way. I have to believe that when Christ rose, he did what God required to give me a life that is imperishable, to give me a life that is not subject to the fading away of this life. I've heard many people talk about, what is life going to be after the COVID-19 passes? What will be changed forever and what will stay the same? How long will it take before people are willing to get back to the normal routines of their life? We don't have a time machine to go look, but you might use the time machine of your own imagination. What do you plan to do when all this passes? What will you keep the same and what will you change? This is very much like what the apostles did when Christ rose from the dead. They had to imagine a new life. But they were able to imagine the new life in which they carried the image of the man of heaven. Christ changed something in them that changed the outward image of their life. I want to say the resurrection reminds us that we have a new life and a new image to grow into. We have a new life and a new image that Jesus Christ modeled. A life of virtue, a life of faith, hope, and love. A life of kindness, goodness, grace, and generosity. A life that we live in the presence of God with the hope of living forever in the presence of Jesus Christ. I encourage you to receive by faith the new life that the resurrected Christ gives us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Christ. I thank you that he offers us a new life. I pray that in that life we would grow into the image of Jesus Christ. And I pray that when all this passes, we would be more like Christ in our inner self, in our thinking, and in our outer choices. And I pray all of this would prepare us to abide with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. Remember, Love Week, we have special hashtags set up. And also, share your pictures on Facebook and Instagram and tag us.
Yep. Thanks, church. We'll see you next week.